As I look around the country and indeed around the world, I realize that there is a major crisis in plain sight. Most men have lost the message of what God requires of them. They don't have a clue. What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to lead a household? Most men have never seriously wrestled with these questions. They just kind of accept whatever culture says. Culture says I should do this. Great. I'll go do that. Without ever reflecting what God requires. Part of the problem is that many homes have no foundation in the one true God. You cannot follow the one that you do not know. It's just not possible. But what's even more difficult to admit and more difficult for many of us to swallow is the fact that there are a lot of men out there that say that they are Christians and they don't follow God's command and direction. They are either ignorant or they're willfully disobedient. Choose your poison, it's one or the other. It seems that culture has become louder than real conviction of faith. If you want to change it, it starts too with two absolutely non-negotiable things. The first one is you must know God personally. Without having a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father, how can a man be a father to their children? It's not possible. All love, all understanding, all patience, all good things originate with the Father. Without that example, we have no example. The second thing is, men have to be willing to obey. That's probably the harder one for most of us. Sitting on the bench spiritually isn't neutral ground. It costs ground. Open disobedience, passive faith, half-hearted commitment, all of them separate you from the Holy Spirit. For a man to lead a household, he needs to be leading through the Spirit. Not through his personal flesh and personal ideas. Obedience, faith, and trust aren't optional add-ons to fatherhood. They're the engine that drives it. Want to be a good father? You got to be a good son of God. Scripture isn't vague on this point. The father is called to be a spiritual leader, a provider, a protector of his family. And a living demonstration of who God is. Many people have no idea what's in this book, who God is. They have no relationship. It's up to the men of this world to stand up and show other people who God is. How much do they act like Christ? We're to be an image of Christ. There are seven major essential duties of a father. The first one is leading spiritually. That means teaching, modeling, and living by God's word. The second one, providing fully, meeting physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Notice I didn't just say bringing stuff home. The third one, protecting actively, shielding the family from harm and negative influence, and yea, verily, evil. The fourth one, discipline lovingly. Man, that's a hard one for some people. Correcting with purpose, patience, and long vision. Discipline shouldn't come about as a result of anger, for instance. Loving compassionately. Well, it's not manly for me to love. Wrong answer. Christ loved enough to go to the cross. Mirroring comfort and tenderness of the Father is something that we should do. And if we don't do it naturally, we should do it through the power of the Spirit. Next, number 6, modeling integrity. There's a word that you don't hear much anymore. There's a word that I think a lot of people don't even know what it means anymore. We need to live with integrity so children learn by watching. It's not just about what we say. And then the 7th one is building a legacy, investing in future generations through faith and faithfulness. Those 7 key things are what should drive a man each and every day. Doing anything less than this list is a distortion of God's truth. It's failing to be obedient to God. The Bible has many verses on fatherhood. A lot. We're not going to explore all those verses this morning. They are way too many. However, the key is that the father needs to clearly reflect who God is. When a person sees a human father, they should see the image of God. They should see Jesus' hands and feet and reactions, not that man's. What comes out of a person's mouth is what's in his heart. What we see in their actions is what they believe. Watch what they say. Watch how they react and act and what they do. You'll very quickly learn if they're walking with the Lord. So the question is, how do these 7 things, these 7 duties, if you will, of a father relate to God? So we're going to very briefly look at each one of those 7. Let's start with lead spiritually, the first one. The leadership of the Lord is primarily through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You realize that, right? Everything that we say, everything that we do should be checked by and governed by the Holy Spirit. We should be in constant communication. Every one of us. Ladies, this isn't just the men. We should all operate this way as Christians. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." You want to check if you're really a son of God or a daughter of God? Are you led by the Spirit? Do you have a relationship with the Spirit? Do you pray and get answers from the Spirit? Do you get comfort from the Spirit? This will tell you whether or not you're a Christian very clearly. It's His presence with you. He is with us every day, leading us through our life, teaching us to be more like Jesus every day. You realize that's part of the goals. It's called sanctification. The Lord leads us through life, not around it, through life. And He grows us to be more like Him. Similarly, earthly fathers need to be there for their families. They must be accessible. Mark 10:14 says, "But when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to Me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven.'" You see, Jesus wanted the children to have access to Him. Direct access. Men of the world need to be that way. Their families need to be accessible. And this isn't just talking about our children, but our grandchildren and our legacy. As a faithful leadership, we should be accessible. Fathers should lead their family in the paths of righteousness, but also train them in God's word. Part of the Shema, which is something that all young Jewish people learn, and I believe most Christians should learn, or all Christians should learn, is in Deuteronomy 6. And here's a quote from it, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Wow, do fathers do this for their families? That's talking about having the Lord on your lips every hour of the day and night. Where's our focus? Are we focused like this, or are we focused like this? It matters. Is God first in the household? God also shows his leadership through forbearance and mercy. And it brings people to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" A supporting, forgiving, loving father encourages the children. It's not about domination and fatherly control, like we hear from so many. It's about love. It's about leadership. The second one, man is to provide fully. The Bible states in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, our Lord supplies every need. Notice it doesn't say our Lord supplies every want. I got a list of wants too. He doesn't necessarily give us all everything we want. He supplies our needs. 2 Corinthians 9:8 reinforces that principle with the following, and quote, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work." There's the target. God equips us so that we can do good work. We can be faithful disciples of him. That's why he gives us what he gives us. What good are we, quite frankly, if we are not doing his work? Think about that for a minute. Note that this is clearly about needs. Needs to get the mission done. Earthly fathers are expected to supply the family needs. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Those are pretty strong words. Men need to provide for their households. It's part of the role. It's a strong imperative. God supplies us, and we need to supply our families. Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." You see, children are a divine blessing from God. Providing for them is stewardship to God. Not providing is disobedience. That's a real hard thing for some guys. I would rather have my new latest toy than do the best thing I can for my child. We see that a lot in culture. Item number 3 was protecting actively. There are many examples in the Bible of how God protects us. One of the most visual and vivid comes from Psalm 91:4. And it says, quote, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." This is a picture of how God protects us from evil now. That's what this is speaking about. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which raises against you in judgment you shall condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. You see, God has us covered all the time, 100%. Even when we're under persecution, even when we're under judgment, God is there. He knows who we are. We are His children. And getting back to an earlier point, walk through this life's not always going to be easy. But He's there for us 100% of the time. His protection is something we can count on. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty." I say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." There it is. There's the source of real protection. You see, as children of God, we need to look to Him because He will protect us. We don't lose salvation through the trials of this earth. It doesn't happen. And He walks with us through every trial, through every temptation, through every problem. He is there if we call on Him. Item number 4 was discipline lovingly. Oh boy, that's one of my favorite ones. Discipline lovingly. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, assures that whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Do you realize that? If we are a child of God, we can expect chastening when we are disobedient. And that comes through many, many forms. Jesus Himself stated in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous to repent." You see, God is attesting to the fact that He chastens us because He loves us and He wants the best for us. Similarly, that's what fathers should do. They should love their children enough to chasten them. This is a picture of the love of the Father for the Son. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son of whom he delights." I love you, child, but here it comes. Anybody that's had kids knows that picture. Another verse that's important to think about when we think about this is Hebrews 12:11. It says, "Now no chastening shall be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." What's that saying? It's saying discipline is important. But it's also saying, don't discipline out of anger, frustration, or desire to make your child listen or conform. The purpose of discipline is long-term righteousness, not short-term compliance. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Yelling at children nonstop, threatening them, otherwise abusing them, doesn't build them up in the spirit. And that's the goal. The goal needs to be bringing them closer to the Father. The patience, love, and understanding of the Lord is required when disciplining. However, there are times when the Board of Education is required. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." I would put a word of caution behind that, and it comes from 1 Peter 5:3. And it says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. You see, this is about love, not about selfish control. My child doesn't act the way I want him to. That gives me the right to go crazy on him. No, it doesn't. It gives you the right to love them and treat them as Christ would love them. Number five, love compassionately. Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his child, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You see, God's own compassion sets the standard for fatherly love. If you think about that, that's an impossible goal for sinful man. But we need to strive to achieve it through the help of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, make this point clear. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You see, fatherly love involves encouragement, comforting, and calling children towards a higher living, towards walking closer with Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example of love. John 15:13 says, God, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the standard of love. How much do we love our families? Do we love them that much? Number six, model integrity. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That verse always bothered me. Why? Because Paul's saying, imitate me. Well, I would have said, imitate Christ. But you see, Paul was being an earthly model, someone physical standing right before them. And he's saying, look, I'm imitating Christ. You need to do the same. The call is for fathers to follow Jesus so closely that pointing the children to yourself points them to God. Are the parents representatives of Christ? Do they walk and talk as Christ would? You see, that was Paul's goal. And it should be the goal of every father. When the children see the father, do they see Jesus through him? Clearly. The second part of this is a father's work ethic and devotion done unto God shapes how children view diligence and faith. You realize that? That's part being a man in a family. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. A father is a living example of something. Every single one of them are. Every single one of us are, not just the fathers. Make sure that something is an example of Jesus, not a tyrant or a control freak or some other odd perversity. Walk like Jesus every day. Overall, this message was written very clearly by Paul in Titus 2:7 and 8. It says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You see, integrity is teaching and in action showing who Christ is, that truthfulness, that unchangingness, that honesty. And it's non-negotiable for fathers. And the last one, number seven, build a legacy. Every person leads a legacy and an example. When you're gone, what will people say about you? Did you make a difference in this world to anyone? Some legacies are good, and some of them are very bad. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children." When I think about that verse, I think about, well, what's an inheritance? Well, an inheritance could be, hey, a big bucket of money. Good, I'm a good man. I left a big bucket of money. No, there is way more to inheritance than that. You see, our inheritance, the truest inheritance, is spiritual values, faith, wisdom, passed down through the family. Again, this comes by modeling Jesus. How are you doing today? How well are you following that mold? As you look around, the stakes can't be higher. Every day a father leads, he pushes back on the darkness in his home, in his children's hearts, and in the generations that will follow. Every day he doesn't, ground is lost. The culture is not neutral. It's aggressively filling the void that's left behind by fathers that are disobedient or not following or don't know. Your children are being disciplined by something. The only question is whether it will be you walking in obedience to God or something far less worthy of their souls. Every child, if they're not taught, will follow culture. And I must say that this is not a call to perfection for the men. Clearly, that's where we'd like to be, but it's a call to surrender. Surrender your ego, your comfort, your excuses, and your disobedience to the Lord who made you, saved you, and entrusted you to these children to your care. He does not ask you to be a perfect father. He asks you to be a faithful one, rooted in His Word, dependent on His Spirit, and relentlessly pointing your family towards Him. This world is desperate for men who will raise to the call. There's not many out there. Your family is desperate for it. God has already equipped people. He has given us the message. Christ has come. It's not a secret. And for Christians, there's no excuse. We've got this. The only thing left is a decision to lead, and lead in the path of Jesus. And I don't want to leave the women out. And to the women hearing this, you're not an afterthought. God has not overlooked you or diminished your role in any way. Scripture is equally clear that the wife and mother occupies a place of profound dignity, strength, and purpose within the family. If you read Proverbs 31, you will very quickly find out that it doesn't describe a passive woman sitting on the sidelines. It describes a woman of remarkable capability, wisdom, and influence. God designed the husband and the wife to function as a team, each bringing distinct gifts and callings that complement rather than compete with each other. The husband's call is to lead, not a license to dominate. That's a message the world needs to hear today. It's a responsibility for the men to serve. You realize that leadership comes through serving. Doesn't come by dominance. And the wife's role is not a lesser one of value. It's equal worth. And it speaks of irreplaceable power in the family. People don't conceive that. Well, the husband's got all the power. Don't you believe it? The husband's got a different role. The women are empowered to do their role. When both husband and wife embrace what God has designed for them, the family becomes something the enemy can't tear apart. If the husband and wife are walking with Christ, it presents a formidable challenge for Satan. A home where a man leads with humility and a woman that leads with women, with wisdom, is a fortress. For both men and women hearing this, understand that God has already provided the instruction. It's here. It's available. The only question is if we will follow Him. So as we go into this service this morning with prayer and praise, I would just ask that one of our prayers is that the Lord draws us closer, helps us to be more obedient, and helps us to follow Him better in each of our respective roles. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your message. I thank You that Your word is so clear. Lord, You've got a role for each and every one of us. And Father, as sinful creatures, we fall short of fulfilling the standard that You have set. But You know that, and You're full of mercy, and You're full of love for us. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the filling of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the many, many blessings that You shower down on us each and every day. Lord, I just pray as we grow as a church, as we grow as a family of God, and as we follow You, that You just continue to guide us, help us to draw closer to You in every respect. Help us to be a beacon to the society around us and to spread Your word. And we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.